Welcome to Field Notes, a production of the Prince William Sound Science Center.
Today I'm here talking to Pete Rand about his work with the Herring Research Monitoring Program. Pete, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
I'm Pete Rand. I'm a staff scientist at the Prince William Sound Science Center, and I contribute to this program, the Herring Research Monitoring Program. And I'm an acoustic specialist, so my focus is on estimating abundance of herring in Prince William Sound using hydroacoustics.
So will you give us a little bit of a brief background to the Herring Research Monitoring Program?
Yeah, it's been going on for a long time, since the decline of herring in the early 1990s following the Exxon Valdez oil spill. And our focus has been on trying to improve predictive models of herring in the Sound. And so we're using a lot of different approaches and methods. We're looking at disease. We're looking at monitoring abundance and health of the populations in the Sound. We're trying to understand reproductive biology of the species. So we're looking at a lot of different approaches and applying a lot of different tools to try to understand what's preventing herring from recovering in the Sound.
Cool. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your acoustic work?
Yeah, so this was following the work of Dick Thorne, who was with the Science Center for a number of years. And in the early 1990s, he came up with an approach using sonar to try to estimate the abundance and biomass of herring in the Sound. And so he pioneered a lot of this work in the Sound. And so I'm following in his footsteps. And so I just started here at the Science Center a couple years ago, and we've been focusing on doing spring surveys. So we time our work to coincide with the time the herring are spawning in the Sound. And we do that every year. And we've also been doing fall surveys to try to estimate the number of juvenile fish in certain bays all around the Sound.
You have a trip coming up, don't you?
Yes, just next week. We're getting all prepped up to go. We've done some aerial surveys. We're trying to keep an eye on the fish from the air. And based on what we see in terms of herring schools and presence of predators, we try to time our cruise to coincide with the period right before the fish spawn.
So where will you be going on this next survey?
We focus on the eastern part of the Sound in Gravina and Fidalgo Bays, but there's also a smaller aggregation that we've been monitoring near Montague Island. So we try to split our time between the eastern and western part of the Sounds, depending, again, on what we see from the air.
Walk us through what you do when you get into Gravina.
So we run line transects off the vessel. We have the acoustics in the water, and we move along the coastline in a zigzag pattern, and we run through this circuit sometimes multiple times over a night. So it takes several hours to cover the area.
Why do you do it at night?
Fish are easier to monitor at night. They come up off the bottom and they spread out a little bit. They're not in tight schools, and so we can get a much better estimate of their abundance that way. And so we've compared day and night surveys, and we always get higher estimates of abundance during the night. So we try to be consistent in our approaches from year to year and focus that on nighttime sampling.
Cool. So what kind of sonar are you using? And is it like the sonars that we use on our boats here fishing?
Yeah, it's the same technology. It's just that ours has a very narrow beam and a very high frequency. So it's very sensitive. So it's designed to give us very accurate estimates of the range of the fish from the surface of the water. And also we can detect relatively small targets in the water column.
Do you do any ground truthing when you're out there? Do you collect samples?
Yeah, we always try to get a direct capture. So we work with fish and game, and we use seines, and we also use gill nets and sometimes cast nets. It's very difficult to identify species using sonar, so we're always combining our work with direct capture methods, and the seine often works best for that.
Do you bring any of the samples back for other researchers at the Science Center?
Yeah, so we're working with other colleagues at the Science Center and also with USGS with a disease-related program, and so we always preserve fish on board and bring it back to the lab for workup.
That's a nice collaborative effort.
Yeah, it all seems to work out well. We always are very interested in working together and making the most of what we can do with the limited time we have out there on the water.
Okay, this is kind of a more personal question for you. What's been the most exciting part about this work for you so far?
It's an amazing biological event to see. And so just getting out there last year and seeing the herring and seeing all the marine life, the orcas, the whales, all the seabirds. To me, it's just a really exciting time to be out there. So as a biologist, you're, you know, in awe, really, to see all this. And so it's really been a great opportunity for me to see it firsthand.
What does the future hold for this kind of work?
Basically, we're trying to better understand what might be preventing these fish from recovering. And so we've made a long-term commitment to that. And so along with, you know, investigations on, you know, we're looking at predation, we're looking at disease, we're looking at climate effects. It's going to take, I think, many years to try to tease all this apart. So I think it's important that we keep sort of long-term vision and commitment to this research program.
And who's funding this work?
This is the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Trustee Council.
Well, thanks for your time today, Pete.
Thank you, Haley.
You have been listening to Field Notes, a production by the Prince William Sound Science Center. To learn more or to support this program, visit us on the web at pwssc.org.